tiptoe through the window, by the window, that is where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
It's time for everybody's favorite show, the Heather Nursery Gardening Corner. Now, here are those two wild and crazy gardening guys, Dwayne Hasted and Terry Overlander, ready to take your questions at 598-7301 or 598-FM92.
And good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Terry, and everybody out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, we're talking to Dwayne via the telephone. He's over in his Montevideo location.
Watering fruit trees is what I'm doing, Terry.
Yeah, we have to get the hoses out now. It's been kind of a dry spell here.
You can see things are getting dry. So ours are in containers, so we have to water them. But I know we're supposed to get some rain maybe this weekend, but if you haven't watered your stuff, you should probably check it out.
Yep.
I see some soybean fields out there, even has some cup soybeans. Looks like they're dry a little bit.
Now, when people water their containers, should they put in some kind of fertilizer each time or every other time, or how often should they do that?
If you're doing a container, you know, above ground, we fertilize every other time and use a liquid fertilizer, or if you have Miracle-Gro or something like that, you know, it says on Miracle-Gro on the container every 2 weeks. If it's a plant in the ground, you know, it has a little bit more ways to get nutrient stuff, so maybe once a month if you're doing it, you know, a planted tree or a planted shrub like that. I know a lot of people don't do that, but if you have shrubs around your house or flowers or whatever, I would definitely fertilize those at least 2-3 times a year. And then your garden, you know, when you're getting produce, you really want to fertilize your garden because you get the nutrients into your, you know, your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, and, you know, if you do have certain plants that like acidity, you should probably use something that's got a little acidity in it.
Yep, you can use soil sulfur, which we have in granules, or there's a soil acidifier, or if you want to mix it with water, mirror acid is a good one for that. And we're in a high alkaline area, so that's the fertilizer I'd use, too, if you want to try to acidify your soil a little bit. Especially on rhododendrons and azaleas and, you know, hydrangeas. You know, the hydrangeas are blooming gorgeous out there, and they like more of acidic soil. That's what keeps them that color. So.
Yeah, the strawberry hydrangeas out here by the radio station, and the one that I got from you that's at home, boy, they're just gorgeous this year.
Absolutely gorgeous. They're really blooming. We have some a strawberry vanilla hydrangea. It comes out kind of a white cream color, and then it turns to a pink and then a darker pink, and they're gorgeous. Another one of my favorites called White Diamonds. Not as thick a head, but it sure is pretty. Has bigger florets on it, and it's sure pretty hydrangea. So hydrangeas are really showing off right now.
Yeah, and they like that acidity, too.
Exactly.
What about clematis? Do they like a little more acidity, too?
Yes, exactly. I would use that mirror acid on there, or our Earth Elements fertilizer would be a good one because that has a high calcium and sulfur in it, and that'll help, you know, balance that soil.
Say, we were talking here at the radio station yesterday, you know, looking across the street here at the dental clinic, there's that maple tree over there, and it's already got leaves turning orange.
That happens almost every year.
Yeah, that's kind of early, isn't it?
Oh, it's plenty early, but it's kind of must be an early harvest type thing there. It always turns early. We talk about that every year.
Well, I notice cottonwood trees, too, over in Dawson, and when I drive around the section or whatever, they are starting to turn yellow, too.
You know what's going on with the cottonwood trees?
No.
Red spider mites.
Okay. And maybe that's why this maple tree is turning.
I don't think so, but it could be. Had a lady bring in some leaf samples from Madison there, and it was on a cotoneaster hedge, and it was just full of mealy bugs, which is a white cottony type bug. It has real fluffy things to protect it, like a fur, and you have to spray doesn't really kill it too well, so you have to use a systemic insecticide. That means a granular that take it up through the roots and kills it when it sucks on the plant.
These mealybugs, now, they aren't too common around here, are they?
Nope, but that, they like a Tony Aster.
Yeah, and the red spider mites are showing. I was looking at our hanging basket out here, the wave petunia one that's looking kind of ill, and I better check that for red spider mites. That looks kind of like what they look like when the red spider mites invade.
Red spider mites like soybeans, and they like petunias, and you see them on evergreens, and then potentillas especially. So check those. If a lot of your plants are done blooming, you know, like your spirea bushes or that type of ones that flower in the spring, then you could be pruning on it. You don't need to go prune everything out there, but like your roses, if they're done flowering, give them a little haircut.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this before, but the check for red spider mites, you look and there's probably little webs on the plant, or else you can take a white piece of paper and kind of shake a branch or whatever, and they'll fall down and you'll see them.
Yep, and they're not necessarily red. We put that red on there. There's different color ones, and they're usually dark, black. There are red ones, brown ones, but spider mites, but they're not a chewing insect, so you don't see actually holes on the top of the leaves. They suck from the underneath the leaf and suck the juices out of the plant, and the plant can't keep up.
So you can say spider mites suck.
They do, too.
Yeah, you can't use just any spray to kill them either.
Fruit tree spray will take care of it because it has a miticide in it. Our Earth Elements liquid spray will take care of them, or something that says a miticide on there. You can have three potentillas in a row and they'll suck all the juices out of one and then go to the next one and the next one. They'll go right down the line.
What do you do with the hanging baskets in Dawson to keep the spider mites at bay there?
We use fruit tree spray and spray on there. Fruit tree spray just means it's a universal spray. It has an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide in it.
Okay.
It has kind of all three.
Okay. And
going through the effort, you might as well do that. And then we mix a little fertilizer in there, too.
Yeah. Well, state fair time is just around the corner, so people probably thinking grass seed, new lawns.
Yeah. It's... Before the state fair, you should be seeding your grass seed because people think you're crazy seeding grass seed in August. But it's already cooler evenings, warm days, and it usually rains in the fall. I mean, you're betting on it, or rains every time this year. But the cooler temperatures allows it to germinate, and it's not so hard to take care of. So August is a great time to do some grass seeding if you need to do that. I just sold 100 pounds of grass seed before you called, Terry.
Yeah, and if they're going to redo the whole lawn, they want to spray it with Roundup, and you want to do that at least 10 days before you plant.
Yep. So if you got a project like that, it's time to kill the weeds first and then get that grass seed in, you know, middle, second to third week of August.
Yeah, and
first
then you
week of August.
Probably want to use a starter fertilizer too.
Is a starter fertilizer, bone meal, because it has higher phosphorus. The phosphorus encourages root stimulation.
Yeah. Say, Paul was mentioning today, he says he had all kinds of red tomatoes earlier, and he says the plants are still loaded with tomatoes, but they aren't turning red anymore. And I said, well, it has to do with temperature, I think.
Yeah, it does. It cooled off, so they slowed down. I hear it's supposed to warm up again, so they'll start producing again.
Yeah, it's...
Otherwise, he picked them all.
Hot and humid this, at least tomorrow and Saturday, so then you want to water those containers twice.
Learned a few things about growing apples from my friend Mike.
Okay.
And he's kind of an apple expert. And in the apple market, you know, one of the most popular apple is Honeycrisp apple. And Minnesota-grown Honeycrisp, where University of Minnesota developed it, they developed it for our soils, okay? So Honeycrisp apples like to be grown in Minnesota soils, and that creates a certain flavor, okay? So you should buy a Minnesota honey-grown or Minnesota homegrown Honeycrisp apple because it has better flavor. Apples grown out on the West Coast, they're flooding the market right now with Honeycrisp apples, which is right before the Minnesota crop is through. But if you look on the apple, they have a little sticker on there, and it'll tell you where it was grown. So if you want the best-tasting Honeycrisp apple, get a Minnesota-grown Honeycrisp apple.
Yeah, but they aren't ripe yet, so it'll be a while before they're available.
But you see Honeycrisp in the grocery stores and stuff now, and that's not a Minnesota Honeycrisp apple. Okay, so they're flooding the markets from someplace else, and they don't taste the same. They're not as sweet and crispy as a Minnesota-grown Honeycrisp apple.
Well, according to my book, the gardening book for northern growers or whatever, that anything grown in Minnesota, you know, in the upper Midwest has a lot more flavor and is better than anything growing on the West Coast or down south.
Unfortunately, we can't grow oranges, but...
That's true. We can't grow the oranges in that, but they, because of our long growing days and cooler nights and that, they say that the produce up this way is much better.
Definitely a different flavor. So support your farmers' markets or grow your own trees. We have a lot of fruit trees on hand. We have, the Honeycrisp apple. An offshoot of Honeycrisp apple developed by the University of Minnesota is called Kinder Crisp. You don't have one of those, I'd add that to your collection.
Okay. And then I can't remember what kind of pear trees I got from you, Duane. I've got the original one, an heirloom one that still has to produce its first pear, but I've got these two other pear trees, and one gets just like a Bartlett pear, but I can't remember what variety it was that I got from you.
The old-fashioned heirloom pears are Parker and Patton. That's what pears, and that's what Grandma and Grandpa always planted because that was what was available. Summer Crisp or Gourmet is another combination that's a good pairs, and I think you have those, Terry.
Yeah, I think they get kind of a red color to them.
Yeah.
Yep, I've got one of that, and that's just loaded this year. And then the other one, it looks like a Bartlett pear, but I can't remember what that is. And you used to have one over by the shop there in Montevideo, but the pears just get huge, and they're just really great pears.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a pear after cooler weather and you get a little frost, and they sure turn juicy.
Yeah, and we're going to have plenty of pears, so be sharing some of those with you and Betty.
You started talking about the fair. The fairs aren't far away. It's, starting out, fairs around. So encourage people to exhibit at the fairs because it's always fun to go to the fair and see people's exhibit. And I know a lot of people go into the exhibit, the horticulture buildings, and so I encourage people to do that. Exhibit, and
yeah, we got
a lot of produce out there this
Stephen,
year.
Stevens County Fair this week and Swift County Fair next week.
Yep, so it's fall is right around the corner. It's August already, so.
And we'll be talking fall
for planting,
fall bulbs before you know it, right?
Yep, but that'll be a September thing, but August, good time to plant grass seed, flowers, perennials, bushes, trees, so. Need any help with that, Heather Nursery and Filo in Madison there, Doss from Montevideo can help you with that.
Yeah, and you can even do some fall cropping. You can actually plant some broccoli and cauliflower and peas and spinach and lettuce and do a fall crop of that stuff too.
Yep, that's always good too.
Yep.
If you aren't already kind of worn out by your garden already.
I never get worn out by the garden. I enjoy it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the weeds are doing well out there.
Yeah, they
not in your garden. I'm not saying about your garden.
Well, they do well there too. We're finally getting caught up a little bit on the weeds, but it's been a struggle because boy, the weeds are really bad this year.
So I'm here trying to water my pots and pull weeds out of the pots at the same time, and for a full-blooded Norwegian, doing two things at one time is sometimes difficult.
Yeah, and then all those tree seeds this year that germinated too—it's just crazy.
Call.
Yeah.
Sure, a lot of seeds on the lindens and the maples, and the cottonwoods producing seeds like crazy this year.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, and I got to get back to Dawson. We got chamber dinner meeting today over there. So.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. If you have questions, don't be afraid to call them in or get them to Terry or me, and we'll talk about them on the air. And everybody have a great week.
Okay, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Terry.
Yep. Bye.